Christian Life and Doctrine, The Gifts of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1, verse 17. For centuries, the year's end has been a season for the giving of gifts. It is a beautiful custom, the practice of which temporarily lifts the world out of its otherwise self-seeking course. It gives millions a taste of the revolutionary changes which will result in human relationships when, under the laws of Christ's kingdom, the unselfish spirit of giving takes the place of the selfish spirit of grasping. The spirit of giving is the spirit of God, and he is the greatest of all givers. Giving manifests the spirit of love, and God is love. 1 John 4 verse 16. The love of God which prompts him to give is described by the Greek word agape, which in our King James Version of the Bible is sometimes translated charity. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 through 13, Colossians 3 verse 14, 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. The original and true meaning of charity is the act of giving to those in need, where there is no hope of repayment. This is truly the case with respect to the gifts of God, both to his people and to the world in general. Nothing that any of God's creatures can give to him would add to his riches, and regardless of what they might withhold, he would not be made poor. He gives because he loves, and the rejoicing of those who receive his gifts is his joy. This, we believe, is true even in the case of his human creation, and despite the present fallen and dying condition of man. Solomon expressed this thought, saying, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." Ecclesiastes 5 verse 19. This text describes what should be the sheer joy of living here on the earth as a natural man. All the natural things which contribute to this joy are the gifts of God. We are reminded of this in the Genesis record of the creation of man, in which we are told of the garden which God prepared for his human creation, eastward in Eden. In that garden, we are told God placed every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Genesis 2 verse 8 and 9. It was all designed for the joy and blessing of man. David wrote, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." Psalms 115 verse 16. In bestowing the blessings which make for human happiness, God has been impartial. Jesus assures us that his heavenly Father causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the evil and the good, the just and the unjust. Matthew 5 verse 45. It is true, of course, that during the dark night of sin and death, when God has been permitting evil to reign, there is no assurance to any individual or group of enjoying an adequate share of the natural earthly blessings. Today, it is estimated that 10% of the human race exists on scanty provisions of food and other necessities of life. This is largely because of human selfishness. The failure to provide adequate means of distribution prevents the bounties which the earth provides to be shared in measure by all. The Lord's own people, living in various parts of the world, are subject to the conditions with which they are surrounded, sharing the common experiences of the world, whether they be lean or full. These have learned, as did the great Apostle Paul, to be content with whatever God's providence may permit, whether they abound or at times suffer need. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. They have learned that godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. The gift of salvation. In order to be a member of God's family and to sense the sweetness of the blessed tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, it was necessary to be a partaker of God's gift of salvation. Although we say the gift of salvation, we could have as well said the gift of God's dear Son, or the gift of eternal life through his Son. John 3 verse 16, Romans 6 verse 23. "By grace are ye saved through faith," wrote Paul, "and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 2 verse 8. This wonderful gift of salvation through Christ had to be preceded by another gift of God, the gift of discernment. When Peter said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus replied to him, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 16 verse 15 through 17. We cannot know and enjoy the true meaning of God's gifts and their resulting blessings by reason of our own ability to interpret the scriptures. Human reasoning, flesh and blood, is not able to discern the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This also is a gift of God. Matthew 13 verse 11, Psalm 119 verse 144 reads, "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." The testimonies of the Lord are his declarations, promises, and laws which reveal his divine plan and purpose. It is only those to whom he gives understanding that are able to grasp their meaning, and it is through their obedience to this God-given understanding that they receive everlasting life. To merely know something of God's plans and purposes does not put one in the way of life. Indeed, it is through such understanding that we learn to know God. But it is when we know him and yield ourselves in complete and hearty submission to his will that his gift of life through Jesus becomes ours. In prayer to his heavenly Father, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John 17 verse 3, "All things," Paul wrote, "he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Romans 8 verse 32. This is a wonderful promise. It does not mean, of course, that the Lord gives his people all that they might desire of temporal blessings and advantages. The reference is to the spiritual needs of the consecrated people of God. These are all supplied, and abundantly so, in keeping with the riches of God's grace through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In the context of the promise of all things, Paul asks, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Romans 8 verse 35. The devil uses discouragement to do so. Paul continues, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns?" Verses 33 and 34. Certainly, it is not God who condemns his people, for he has made provision through Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of their unwilling imperfections. From him we have received the gift of forgiveness. Colossians 1 verse 14, "Failing to separate us from the love of Christ through discouragement based upon our sins, then other methods are tried. Shall we be separated by tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Paul, quoting from the Old Testament, then says, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things, however, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us." Romans 8 verse 35 through 37, Psalms 44 verse 22. We can be conquerors in all these things, not in our own strength, but because God, through Christ, has freely given unto us all things needful in order to be overcomers. The difficult situations that the Lord's people face in various parts of the world would, from the natural standpoint, be cause for fear and defeat. However, as Paul wrote to Timothy, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. The spirit of power is the Holy Spirit. One of its many functions in our lives as Christians is to give us strength for our every time of need. At times our needs seem very great. One trial follows another in quick succession. At times the Lord may permit us to be severely tested along several lines at once. The enemy often will come in like a flood to overwhelm us. Isaiah 59 verse 19. Nevertheless, as David wrote, "The Lord sits upon the flood, yea, the Lord sits king forever." In other words, he is in full control of every situation, and as David further promised, "The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace." Psalms 29 verse 10 and 11. "The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Psalms 84 verse 11. God will freely give us all things that are good for our spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. These are embodied in his gift of the Holy Spirit. Speaking to his disciples, and in anticipation of what his heavenly Father would do for his consecrated people, beginning at Pentecost, Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Luke 11 verse 13, God's power. The Holy Spirit is the holy power and influence of God, by which he accomplishes all his works. The inspirational power of his promises, recorded in his word under his direction, is one of the means by which he strengthens his people. The scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were given in order that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. In all things, God has made provision for us through his word, and thus we are completely furnished to accomplish his will and works. God's promise to give strength unto his people is a source of great inspiration and encouragement. To know that God is for us, to really believe that he is helping us in every time of need, serves to help us over many difficult places in the narrow Christian way. Matthew 7, verse 14. We can press on, because we know that greater is he who is for us than all they that are against us. Romans 8, verse 31. The great battle may rage around us, but because the Lord has promised to strengthen and protect, we enjoy the peace of God, which passes all human understanding. Philippians 4, verse 7. The promises of God are not empty words. He strengthens and protects his people, and information is given us in his word as to how he does this. We read, "He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." Psalms 91, verse 11. What a precious gift this is to the people of God. We read again, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him, and delivers them." Psalms 34, verse 7. We have never seen an angel, and our human minds cannot understand how these heavenly beings accomplish their work. We know, however, that they exist, that they are powerful, and that they are willing and ready always to do God's bidding. In addition, they know the Heavenly Father's will for his people. Jesus said, in this connection, that the angels always behold the face of his Father in heaven. Matthew 18, verse 10. They are in intimate contact with our God. They know his will for us and are prompt to do his bidding. His mighty power is exercised through them to keep us in all our ways. Another of the gifts of God to his people of the present time is the privilege of suffering for and with Christ. Paul wrote, "Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Philippians 1 verse 29. It requires great faith to appreciate this gift. The privilege of suffering with Christ is, however, a very precious gift. For if we are faithful in thus suffering, even unto death, it will lead to association with him in glory. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. The joy set before him. In Hebrews 2, verse 10, we read that it was God's plan, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The thought is that the many sons are also brought to glory through a pathway of suffering. Thus, just as the Heavenly Father did not shield Jesus from suffering, there is no reason to suppose that he will do so for us. However, God did provide a compensating portion for the Master. It was the joy that was set before him, which, as the Apostle explains, enabled him to endure the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 12, verse 2. These same joys are set before us, the greatest of which is the prospect of seeing our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus face to face, and of spending eternity with them as members of the divine family. 1 John 3, verse 2. David wrote, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore." Psalm 16, verse 11. Jesus entered into this joy after his resurrection. The apostle affirms that he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. This glorious inheritance was first given to Jesus by promise. To be at the right hand of the throne of God meant the glorious privilege of carrying out the Father's loving kingdom plan for the blessing of all the families of the earth. The promise was that the pleasure of Jehovah would prosper in the hands of Jesus. By faith, Jesus laid hold of these precious promises, and they served as a bulwark of strength while he was making his soul an offering for sin. Isaiah 53 verse 10, in prayer to his Father, Jesus said of his disciples and those who would believe on him through their word, "The glory which thou gave me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me by promise. For thou loved me before the foundation of the world." John 17 verse 22 and 24. What a gift! The glory which thou gave me I have given them. It means that all the exceeding great and precious promises which inspired and encouraged Jesus belong also to us and are among the means which God is using to fortify us against the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. One of the promises to Jesus was, I shall give thee the heathen, Hebrew, nations or people, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Psalms 2 verse 8. We read further of God. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Psalms 111 verse 6 and 7. God has shown us the power of his works. He has opened the eyes of our understanding to see and appreciate his great plan of salvation, the redemption through Christ Jesus, his covenants, his promised kingdom, the great salvation of the church, and the restitution of all things for the world. Hebrews 2 verse 3, Acts 3 verse 20 and 21. Through the outworking of this plan, we see the mighty power of God in operation. That power gave strength to the Old Testament heroes of faith, enabling them to endure while they were being prepared to occupy, in the earthly phase of the kingdom, the position of princes in all the earth. Psalms 45 verse 16, Hebrews 11 verse 1 through 40. This same mighty power of God comforted and strengthened Jesus and raised him from the dead. By faith, we see God's power in operation in the first resurrection of the church, and by faith, we anticipate the manifestation of divine power in the resurrection of all the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20 through 23, Revelation 20 verse 6, John 5 verse 28 and 29. God promised Jesus that he would be given the nations for an inheritance, and throughout the present age, he has been helping the church to enter into this same inheritance. Not only has it been given us to see and know the mysteries of the kingdom, the many glorious features of God's plan, but all of the Lord's people have experienced the mighty power of God in their own lives as they are being prepared to enter into their future inheritance with the glorified Jesus. Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13. How inspiring are the promises of the Bible pertaining to the various aspects of our inheritance. Through the prophet Isaiah, God said, I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou may say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Isaiah 49 verse 8 and 9. Other aspects of our inheritance are promised by Jesus' statement, To him that overcomes will I give, a crown of life, the hidden manna, power over the nations, the morning star, white raiment, make a pillar in the temple of my God, to sit with me in my throne. Revelation 2 verse 10 and 17 and 26 and 28, 3 verse 5 and 12 and 21. All these promises pertain to our prospect of reigning with Jesus in his kingdom. He knew that it was his Father's will that his followers should share these honors and blessings with him, for he had said while still with his disciples in the flesh, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12 verse 32, Our gift to God. How many and manifold are the gifts of God to us? Truly they are more than can be numbered. In return he asks but one gift from us, My son, give me thine heart. Proverbs 23 verse 26. To give our hearts to the Lord means to give him our all. It means that we will search his word to determine his will for us at every step of the Christian way in which we walk. In this also there is great joy, great peace of mind, for we are assured of being guided aright and of hearing the voice of the word of God saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. Isaiah 30 verse 21. Without this infallible guide, the world strays aimlessly through life, burdened with its cares and fearful of what each day's experiences might bring. How wonderful it is, though, to have given our hearts to God and to let Him be our guide as we endeavor to do His will and work. It is in thus giving our hearts to Him that we receive one of the most precious of His present gifts. Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. How precious is this rest which the Lord has given to his people. It is enjoyed by all true Christians, wherever they may be, and regardless of their circumstances of life. The measure of this rest is in proportion to our faith in the divine arrangements, faith in God's dealings with us, faith in the provision he has made through the Redeemer, faith in his ability to fulfill his promises, and faith in all the means of grace which he has provided. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. As we look ahead to the new year before us, may it be with a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. We do not know what the future holds for us individually. Therefore, let us live today as though tomorrow we would hear those welcome words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, verse 21.